In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, and at player.fm. You can also listen to the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can use any phone using our 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing 605-562-4209. Before we start the show, let's give a shout out to our AM and FM affiliates. WJNW AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee, Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Kaufman County Talk Radio AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, and also WDFP Digital Radio, Atlanta, Georgia. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Kim Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you today?
Well, happy Easter to my old friend in Tennessee.
Yes. Yes, I actually had my next-door neighbor brought me a little gift yesterday. She brought me – it was nice, too. She brought me a little bit of sugar-free candy, which is fine, I guess. But really, what I really liked was they had ham. She brought me several really nice slices of ham. And I love ham. I don't get it often enough. I can on a sandwich is one thing, but I'm talking like big old chunks. I mean – You can put a biscuit around that kind of thing.
Was it like honey baked?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I've already ate most of it. So
it's gone, huh?
Yeah, I had that as a snack last night. I put a little cheese on it and just it was good. It was good. Okay, before we get started here, I want to make a quick announcement. We have a new show that's beginning on Red State Talk Radio, the Rod Eckley Show. Pretty popular. He's been doing a podcast and for a long time, about the same time as we have, Ken. We've been doing it over 6 years. I think he's been doing his for several years, 4 or 5 years, you know. So he was used to be on radio. He's still, I think, going to remain some ties there, but he's actually getting out into several different networks now, and we're going to be one of them. And he does a live show. But we have something else scheduled during the live, so we're going to do a delayed broadcast. And so basically can't start Monday, but he's going to start on Tuesday. We're going to, at 7 a.m., he'll be on our lineup 7 a.m. every weekday. And also he'll broadcast again on Saturday at 1 p.m. if I've got my got my stuff straight. But anyway, good show. Young black guy. Really conservative. We've talked at length before he joined the network, of course, to make sure. I always vet these guys, make sure they really are who they say they are, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get some liberal or progressive on here and accidentally. So
oops, yeah,
oops. So I kind of feel them out on a few issues and things and see where they're at. I go, yeah, okay, I like this guy. This will work. So anyway, he'll be starting up. So be sure and give a listen. And by the way, we've gotten so many weekday shows now. From 11 p.m. until noon the next day, all through the week, we've got nothing. We got the same lineup every single hour throughout the time, which that's good because it gives us a little bit of stability, and we got some people kind of placed in anchors. And in the afternoons and early evenings, we've got a variety of shows, which again is good because you're getting to hear different things every day, you know, that kind of thing. So we've got 24 shows now. And I may be adding a 25th show, but just contacted the guy on Friday, and so we've not had a chance to really go through everything yet to see if we can work it out logistically. But anyway, I'll let you know if that becomes comes to fruition. Let's get started. Before we get into any of our major topics that I sent you to Ken that we're going to talk about today, I wanted to talk about this Indiana law and the way the media has covered this thing. I'm sure you've heard, at least heard some of this stuff and seen some of the stuff on Facebook and whatever. This whole thing about the Indiana law that was trying to affirm religious rights so that if you own a business, you don't have to do anything in your business that would go against your religious beliefs and whatever, all that kind of thing. And really what all it's doing is affirming the right that I've always understood, and I feel this way, that if you own a business, you can reject service to anyone. You don't have to serve anyone.
Yeah, it's your business.
It's your business. I mean, you're not a public utility. You're not a government agency where you have to, you know, serve everybody who walks in the door. That's not what you are. You're a business. If I don't want to do business with you, I don't have to. Or if I don't want to do business with this guy, I don't have to. I'd say, I really don't want your business. You can leave now. Kind of thing. And I actually had to do that a few times. I actually had to do that a few times because people were so obnoxious and they were just really unreasonable. And as soon as I found out that, I said, get out of my store. And they left. I'm not the kind of guy that you don't accept that offer very kindly. That's not a good plan on me. So anyway,
you are Italian.
Yeah, I am Italian. Let's keep that in mind. And put all that together, I'm not the kind of guy you fool with on things like that. You just kind of go, yes, sir, and turn around and walk out. So that being said, this whole thing has nothing to do about gay rights. Think about this. No. I mean, there's been bakeries, florists, and pizza parlors who've been basically gay couples and people have gone into these places asking for services for their gay weddings and whatever, and these people have refused to do that because of religious beliefs. They don't believe that they don't like that kind of behavior, and they have been literally, a couple of these businesses have been run out of business because of all the bad publicity and stuff. And that's just not right in this country, because think about this. If you were a black baker, you're a black man, you have a bakery shop. If someone comes in and wants a cake, you're going to give them a cake. That you won't care if they're gay. You don't care what their political ideology is or anything. But you know what? If the KKK comes to your shop and wants you to make a cake from the birth of the KKK, don't you have the right to refuse to do that and say, go somewhere else?
Yes.
Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
You know, to me, that's the crux of the whole thing. If you put the shoe on the other foot and make it like, it's like this Crowder guy did this video where he went and acted like he was gay. He went into Muslim bakeries and asked him to make a wedding cake for he and his partner. And they told him to go across the street to another bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And because they didn't want to fool with it either.
Or should they have to?
No, and should they not? I mean, you know, I'm critical of the quote religion of Islam as much as anybody. But if that's your chosen religion and something like it comes in your shop, you shouldn't have to deal with that. But I didn't hear anybody criticizing these bakeries that refuse to bake this cake for this gay wedding.
No,
because you can't insult Islam. We all know that. Well, that's really a no-no.
Yeah. Well, it's targeted individuals.
Right.
And businesses.
Right. And it gets the whole thing of if a gay couple goes to a church and asks to have a church do their wedding. Well, some churches might be fine with that, but some may not. And again, you can't force a pastor in a church to host a wedding and to conduct a wedding if they feel like that goes against their religious beliefs. Again, that's wrong. Now, but here's really the bottom line. If I were gay, I wouldn't want my business at a place that didn't accept me or want me. Why would you not go? I mean, think about a florist going to, like, one incident was a florist, and they wanted them to provide floral arrangements for their gay wedding. Now, Rush said this the other day, I'm going to steal it. How hard is it to find a gay florist? I mean, really? Right?
I missed that show, but that's funny.
Yeah. Or how hard would it be to find a gay hairdresser? No. You know? I mean, why would you want to even conduct business with someone who doesn't appreciate you, doesn't value you, doesn't want your business? Why would you not give it to someone who does want your business?
I want to flip the story a little bit here and tell you a story, a true story that happened to me, to my daughter, actually, this past summer when she got married. Well, she got married, and it was in the county she lives in, and it was on a home. It was in a home. It was an older home, had a ranch type area, you know, and they had a nice barn they redid into a hall for a wedding reception and those kind of things. Well, the wedding was going to be outside. It was going to be in the backyard of the house, and they're going to move it to the reception to the barn. Well, the owners of the barn, Primo, the owners of the home who actually live there are gay. Two gay guys.
Okay.
And my daughter's husband has friends that, shall we say, are...
he's a bit sweet?
I know. I hate to use the words redneck, but they're, you know, they're...
Oh, okay.
They're just so, country boys, you know?
It's good old country boys.
Yeah, country boys. So well, and you know, they chew tobacco and... You know, they fish and all those things. Well, one of them was carrying a gun, and he had a permit to carry the gun. He was actually on his hip, and right. It was holstered and everything. And well, the gay guys, one of them about had a fit. He about had a fit that there was a gun on his property. That this was during the reception, you know, another reception, but the before the wedding, you know, the rehearsals.
Yeah,
and they were just out there under the tree and doing the rehearsal stuff, and he was about to have a fit, and he said he was going to call the wedding off, call this the whole thing off because this guy had a gun on his property, holstered, who had a permit for it. So I'm thinking, oh, no, wait a minute now.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like it's funny, but you know, we didn't care that the guys were gay that owned the property. That we use the wedding, But he cared that there was a gun on his property that was holstered and the guy had a permit for. So I'm just saying it works both ways here.
In that case, that's kind of an odd situation. That's a good thing you brought that up, because in a way I'm looking at like, well, you know what? If we're going to be consistent, it's their property, their business that they're doing this. And if they don't want, they don't have to necessarily serve, everybody comes in. But at the same time, because they're gay, you would think they'd be a little more considerate of other people's. Tolerant is actually a very good word. Other people's views and opinions and whatever.
Yeah, the guy didn't have the gun. He didn't have the gun out showing the gun or anything. It was holstered and
it wasn't like he shot the place up. I mean,
that'd be a different story. But you know, it was totally. I saw the gun. But I didn't think much about it. I mean, because of where we were, you know, we're in a county where there's a lot of country boys. You know, kind of do that. You know, and but this guy was like, he was, and he had every right to do that. You know, he didn't want that on his property. I totally get that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But you know what would make the whole thing better? Is think about this. If you guys were, if your family and you were all of Muslim faith, and all the guests that were coming in were all of Muslim faith, you know what happens at a Muslim wedding, don't you?
What?
They take their AK-47 and start shooting rounds off in the air.
I didn't know that was part of the wedding.
So I would think at that point, both those gay guys would have a complete conniption fit. They'd just pass out.
They probably would.
That could be a good comedy. You could do a movie on that. You'd have all this politically incorrect stuff, you know, just going back and forth all the way through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to make a movie called Politically Incorrect and just do every stupid stereotype there is and just make fun of it.
Yeah, but you're right. It's like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
If you're going to open the door like that and make people have to do this and this, well, I mean, there's no line. It's like Obama's red line. It keeps moving.
Well, the thing is, Obama doesn't really have a red line. It's more of a pink line, I think.
I think it's an imaginary line.
Now, see, because I said pink, that doesn't mean that I'm against
it. There you go.
I'm hating people again already.
You shouldn't do that stuff.
Let's talk about some other stuff here. That was kind of fun, though. Anyway, there's a couple articles I posted, one on redstatetownhall.com and one on redstatetalkradio.com, about this this horrible economic report we got in, which I'm sure the Obama administration was very thankful that all this gay stuff was going on this week, and and also that they had the Iranian situation, which we're going to talk about later, the quote framework, the quote deal, in the news, because a lot of people didn't catch the whole idea about how awful this economic report was. You know, 62% of the labor force participation is what our participation rate is now, and that matches a 37-year low. You've got millions of women who don't have work, millions of blacks who don't have work. If you read these articles, again, on redstatetalkradio.com and redstatetownhall.com, they're two different articles, but they talk about some of the same stuff. Just amazing.
But you don't hear that in the media right now.
No. Now,
if Bush was president, or any Republican for that matter, was president right now, it would be on the front of every news story.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, here's the thing. The last few months, there have been some positive economic news, even though it's still been, in some ways, horrible in terms of job growth. Because, for example, only 120-some thousand people got jobs last month, but our unemployment rate stayed at 5.5%. Well, why is that? Again, because more people have left the workforce. Over 270-some thousand people left the workforce this past month. And even though we had some better news the last few months, the mainstream media is trying to get this thing out to where everybody thinks, oh, we're coming back. You know, Obama's policies are finally starting to take effect. Everything's But then when they get negative news like this, I mean, because there's nothing positive in this report. In the last couple of months, there have been some positives, some negatives. You could take from it and go, well, this and well, that. And whatever. There is nothing. You can't point to anything positive in this one. I mean, this is awful. And and I'm not going to repeat all the statistics. Just go look at it for yourself. I mean, you people are bright enough to read this stuff and understand what it means. But don't believe this agenda item that the mainstream media has trying to tell us that our economy is getting better. It is not. And this is, without a doubt, the slowest recovery since World War II of a recession. I mean, and we've talked about this before. If you compare this pullout from the recession versus Reagan, it's not even funny. And I don't know why in the world, Ken, you wouldn't look at history. You know the whole thing of if you ignore history, you're going to repeat it and all that kind of stuff. Well, why in the world would you not look at what Reagan did in the 80s and make that your basic blueprint? Now, there might be some things you have to maybe change along the way, but that's where I would start.
Yeah. It's worked.
It worked, and it worked extremely well.
Well, I think what, and this has been made clear on many talk shows, but if it weren't for North Dakota, Texas, states where their economies are booming, because they're because of the way their state is run, there would be no recovery at all.
Right. Now, even they are having a little bit of trouble because the gas prices have gone down. Not necessarily gas prices, crude oil prices have gone down. Anytime they get below $50 a barrel or something like that, it starts making it more difficult for them to make a profit, basically because of the way they're getting some of this stuff out through fracking and all that kind of stuff. Some of that stuff is more expensive to get the stuff out, but it as long as the price per barrel supports it, it can be very profitable. And that's why we have all these big increases in jobs in a lot of places.
Isn't that strange, though? Isn't it strange that the gas price has gone down so much?
Well, they've gone back up too, by the way. But
the economy hasn't followed suit. You know, usually when the gas prices go down, the economy gets better quick.
Well, that would be true if everything else remained the same. But the problem is it's not. Is we've got increased government regulation, which makes it more difficult to conduct business, at least make a profit. And you still have the specter of the Grim Reaper, Obamacare, over everything.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, I've told this story I don't know how many times, but it hurt my business like crazy. And literally, I have talked to I don't know how many CEOs that I do business with, and I've got clients, all of them need to upgrade their infrastructure, but they're not going to until things get better. And basically, I had one the other day, literally just a few weeks ago, told me, he says, I'm not doing anything until this guy's out of office.
Yeah.
And we get somebody we can depend on to get this economy going again, and then we'll talk about it. And so I'm sitting there thinking, well, okay, I understand that. I totally understand it, but I'm thinking, well, I've got another almost 2 years to wait before my business hopefully picks up. You know.
Yeah.
To back what it was.
I think that there's a lot of thought like that out there, a lot of thought.
Oh, I know
it people is. People don't verbalize it like he verbalized that to you, I think, because they keep that quiet.
No, it's racist, you know.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's racist. I mean, there are so many things I want to like tell people that I work with, but you know, I work with a lot of.
It ain't worth the grief.
Well, you know, I have to preface everything by saying, look, I have nothing against a black man as president. In fact, I was proud when he became president. It's what he does that I can't stand. And in fact, I was for Herman Cain. You know, I can't tell him, look, I was for 100% black man. Yeah. not a 50% guy. I was for 100% black guy. I went down there when he was going to be president, or when he
announced. Says he's gonna,
and he announced. I was there. I was in the front row. So I always, but I hate to even preface everything I say with that.
You shouldn't have to, but that's the world we live in. You have to.
I know.
every time you say anything, if it even gets near race or gets near gender, back to the whole gay thing, you have to say, no, there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, whatever. You have to kind of, you have to make those qualifying statements, and I hate that kind of crap.
I have to be a politician, you know?
Yeah.
Politicians just do it every single time.
Talking to people you work with or people you meet or even a date. I mean, you were telling me, I'm not going to get into this real heavy, but you were telling me about a date that you had recently, and the girl basically had believed all the mainstream media stuff she had heard about some issues, and you were kind of going over it like, well, you want to know the truth? And you were just like, tell the stuff. Now, I'm sure that was a really fun date for her. I don't know.
Well, it opened her eyes. She had no clue. Because she's, you know, she catches the first 5-10 minutes of NBC News or something and thinks that's the gospel.
Yeah. Like we said, the car and radio crowd, all they hear is that 3 to 4 or 5 minutes at the top of the hour when they're driving to work, and that's all they know. And you know what? If the country were being run right, that's all we'd all have to really know.
Well, yeah.
But
if the media did their job and told the truth, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in.
But yeah, exactly. It'd be nice that you could depend on the top of the hour news in your car radio.
Wouldn't that be, and then
you wouldn't have to worry about the scrap. Of course, we wouldn't be doing the show. But
and when you were a kid, the way I felt when I was a kid, when I was a kid, and I read the newspaper. If the news put in front of me in the newspaper, I thought everything in the newspaper was gospel. That it was the truth. That when I read an article in the newspaper, if it was in the newspaper, then it had to be true.
It must be true. It must be true.
Yeah, I mean, why they wouldn't print something false? They wouldn't lie to me.
I mean, that was during the era where actually people had, they checked their sources out, they confirmed them, they had more than one source to put the news out. I don't think anybody sources material like that anymore.
It's not just that. It's they take sides. Of course. They're not going to say whatever's the truth. If the truth's out there and the truth's not liberal, the truth won't be said, or it'll be said on the very last page of the paper in a very small column.
Well, you know, when we grew up, I'm talking about as teenagers and high school and college, there was a slant to the news, but it was very subtle. And it was, you didn't really notice it, just the way they kind of did things. And of course, we both went to a college that was a liberal arts college. And so it was it had a very progressive slant to it for the most part. But we had enough common sense. We knew that, well, that's your opinion. I don't agree with that. But okay, fine, you can have your own opinion. That was kind of the way things went. Now it is so far out of literally left field that our schools have become indoctrination centers. And I'm not just talking about college. I'm talking about high school and elementary school. From the time your child enters grade school, hell, it might even start kindergarten, but they are indoctrinated to a way of thinking so that when you get a child that finishes college and gets out in the real world, if they're not already a liberal progressive, bravo to you that you raised that child enough to kind of figure things out on their own, because it's tough.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think tough. About the common core thing. I hate the idea of anything common in education. I don't like that idea, period. I don't like those terms. Because when you say that, and the government, you got some people in Washington who's going to decide what my kids learn and what we teach. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now you go to the social studies, and this is where I had the two biggest things. The math, I'm not so crazy about. I mean, that's fine. Language arts, I'm fine with that. But when you get the social studies and science, I have a problem there. I have a problem with you preaching climate change in science, and I have a problem with you changing the history books and saying the way this country was founded and the principles thereupon. Those things I have a problem with, of a few people deciding what the country's going to actually learn.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's huge to me.
Oh, I know. Hey, listen, we're running way late. Let's go ahead and take our break, and when we come back, we've got some more stuff to talk about. Stick with us. Thank you for listening to the rest of the Town Hall. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Tune into Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Commerce.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
America's premier grassroots conservative talk radio network.
Red State Talk Radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster. Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Are you a homeowner at least 62 years young? Need extra money to make ends meet? With a government-insured reverse mortgage loan, you could use the money as you choose. If you need money, a reverse mortgage could be a real blessing. There's no monthly mortgage payment and you still own your home. Plus, you can use the money to pay off bills, make ends meet, or as you see fit. If you're a homeowner at least 62 and you need money, make this no-obligation call right now and learn how a reverse mortgage may allow you to eliminate your mortgage payment, remain in your home, and get extra cash. Call right now, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254. That's 800-365-7254.
Borrowers are responsible for paying taxes and insurance. AAG offers FHA home equity conversion loans. AAG is based at 3800 West Chapman Avenue, 3rd floor, Orange, California, 92868. Visit AAG.com for more information. NMLS number 9392.
Red State Talk Radio,
the talk monster.
Let's see. Didn't you hear this thing? This is Chris Obama and Hillary a little bit here. And we won't spend a lot of time on this because we've got some other stuff that we need to spend more time on. This idiotic notion that Obama said that he thinks that it might be a good idea for Americans to make voting compulsory, that we should basically everybody should be forced to vote. And of course, in his situation, you get every single zombie who doesn't know anything about anything voting. He has a better chance of getting to vote his way because of the lamestream media and all that kind of and the culture we have now. But there's one little problem with what his theory, because he says other countries have this. I'm thinking, yeah, but they're not countries like us. They're not based on freedom. They're not based on liberty. And the real problem is, Ken, of course, compulsory voting is really, if you get right down to it, it's unconstitutional.
When does that ever matter to Barack Obama?
Well, yeah, he doesn't really. Apparently, he thinks that's. I know. I was about to say something.
Mr. Obama is that make it compulsory or
what?
Yeah. Or you're going to fine me, or you're going to tax me. I don't know. I don't know. What are you going to do? You got to do something. There's got to be some sort of a punishment there, and I don't know what that punishment is or what's in his mind.
Could you be in prison because you didn't vote, and especially if you don't vote the right way?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
See, it leads to a lot of problems.
Well, he says that. He says that, and of course, you and I know both that when you get a lot of you open the borders and you get people coming in here and you say, you know, it's okay, come on in, and you get more and more people like that, then of course those people are going to say, oh, it's Mr. Obama, he let me come in and not be penalized for that, so I'm going to vote Democratic, of course. Now, if it was turn the tables and go, we have a whole lot of conservatives in this country, more conservatives than Democrats, he would never say that.
No. Well, see, one reason now, I know it's getting a little bit deep in the weeds, and we'll stop here because we got more stuff to cover. Think about this. The reason they want all these unskilled people in the country is because they're uneducated, unskilled, and he knows that is fertile ground for the Democratic Party.
Of course.
However, get people who have come to this country for freedom, for liberty, and for the rule of law, and who have high skills, and they're intelligent, and they're educated, what are the odds they're going to become Democrat voters or Republican voters? What do you think?
It would be very conservative.
Yeah. I would think, generally speaking, I would think so. For most, not all, but, you know, I would think the majority would go that way. So that's why they're not really too crazy about bringing in all these high-tech people. But that's not. And Google and some of those people are starting to figure this out. Okay, Hillary, real quick. There's an article from the American Thinker about Hillary's baggage on Red State Talk Radio. And we're just going to make just a brief thing, and we got two other things we need to talk about. Just read the article. I mean, if you don't think that she has baggage and that the old bag doesn't have baggage, let's put it that way. If the old bag doesn't have baggage, if you don't think that, you're not in reality, because apparently she's still planning her rollout. She rented some office space in New York. It looks like it would be perfect office space for campaign headquarters. So, but I think she's making a major mistake because at some point she's going to have to sit down with Trey Gowdy. And there is the possibility of a private interview where it's being recorded and all that kind of stuff. But there's also the idea of there might be a public venue. So she may have to do it twice with Trey Gowdy. And, I don't think she's going to come out of that too well.
You know, I also look at Hillary and I go, okay, Hillary, what have you done? What are your accomplishments?
Nothing.
I mean, well, really. I mean, tell me. Anybody, please, you know, write me, tell me, call me and say, tell me what this lady has accomplished. What good has she done? I don't know of anything.
There really is nothing. Look at the Middle East. Most of what we have going in the Middle East is because of Hillary's policies under the direction of Obama in the last few years.
Oh, yeah. And I see things she's messed up.
Yeah.
And I see things she's tried to cover up. And I see things she's done as far as her own emails.
Well, look at Hillary Care. Excuse me. Hillary Care in the 90s. Total failure. Travelgate. And let's don't even get into her past before all that. There's a lot of stuff there. She was an ineffective senator. The only reason she ran for Senate was so she could run for president. She's a carpetbagger. She moved from Arkansas to New York and wanted to be New York senator. And of course, she was elected because New York is so.
I mean, without Bill Clinton, where would she be?
Baking cookies for somebody else?
Well, she would not be in the limelight. You and I both know that. The whole country knows that. She wouldn't be famous. She wouldn't be the go-to Democratic Party nominee. She's not. It wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Okay. We've only got about 12, 13 minutes left. Obama's foreign policy. God almighty. We got to talk about this Iranian.
Lack thereof.
Yeah. This framework, this deal, Obama comes out crowing that they've come up with this historic framework that's going to lead to, you know, Iran not getting a nuclear weapon, blah, blah, blah. He sits there and outlined all these things they're going to do to Iran. And he even said at one point, if the Iranians cheat, we'll know it. And I thought, yeah, we'll know it when we see the mushroom cloud going up in Israel, then we'll on Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or whatever. That's when we'll know they cheated, because this idiot and the people he's got underneath him are all, for the most part, idiots. I've not seen a single person in the Obama administration I thought was sharp. And I'm not kidding you.
It's not a question of if they cheat, it's when they cheat. Because we all know they're going to do it.
They're already doing it. They have done it. They've never abided by anything they've ever agreed to.
That's where it gets to me. It gets to me that I think this guy wants that to happen.
It sure does look like it. I'm telling you. I just don't believe how you can. I don't see how anybody can believe that this guy knows what he's doing. I just don't. But here's the thing. Maybe he does, like you said. Maybe he does know exactly what he's doing. Yeah. And that's what he's all about.
Well, that's the point. I mean, I just don't. You don't look at somebody's what they say. You look at what their actions are. And these actions point to that I think he wants Iran to be a nuclear power.
Yeah, and he wants to be the dominating force in the Middle East, and they will be if they get nukes.
Oh, I just don't think Israel's going to let that happen.
I hope not, for Israel's sake and ours, really.
They bombed them twice. I don't see why they would stop and do that again.
Well, supposedly they have this underground facility that you can't really get to, but you know what? A nuke could get to it, maybe. I don't know, but you'd hate to have to come down to that. But it's like, well, if they're building one and you've already got one, what are you going to do? You know, they've made no bones about what their ultimate goal is. And here's the thing: Obama's sitting there crowing about all these things they're going to do to the Iranians, and all these. They're going to have unprecedented access to their facilities and all this kind of stuff. And the Iranian guy got on Twitter and he goes back to Iran. He's hailed as a hero. The Iranians are literally dancing in the streets because they basically got the United States to capitulate to almost everything the Iranians want. And so they're literally dancing in the streets. There's video of this on Facebook. Dancing in the streets because they think they got the better end of the deal, which, at least from all, he's got a brain, knows they did. But here's the thing. The Iranians sit there and basically shot down almost everything Obama said. He basically said, oh, no, we're not going to do that. That's not what we agreed to. And now, first of all, there's not an agreement. There's just a framework for an agreement. But
Let's go further. I'm sorry. Let's go further and say that no one knows what that is. No one even knows what they talked about.
Well, we have this, quote, fact sheet that Obama went through the other day with the press. However, it doesn't have the Iranian signature to it. So, in other words, this is Obama's their dream agreement that the Iranians would never friggin' sign. They would never agree to it. And even if they do, they're not going to follow through with it anyway. It's so ridiculous. The whole thing is so ridiculous. Well, you know what? This plays right into the hands of someone who's getting ready to announce his candidacy for President of the United States, Marco Rubio, who has a pretty good grasp on foreign policy. He's been known for that. And if you've listened to him lately, he is tearing apart Obama, his foreign policy, in every way, shape, and form. When it comes to dealing with Cuba, when it comes to dealing with Iran, et cetera, et cetera. And Rubio is a thoughtful guy. He's a smart guy. He was not a community agitator as growing up. He actually did some real stuff in the real world. And apparently, April 13th, he's almost virtually said it, but he's not. But he has booked the Freedom Tower in Miami for April 13th. And he's going to have a major announcement on April 13th. Well, we all know that major. He's not going to book the Freedom Tower in Miami and say, I'm not running for president. That's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I want everyone here and everyone online and everyone to know that I have decided not to run for president of the United States. Thank you very much. That's not going to happen. So he's going to be the second one in the race, I guess, based on the calendar. But Rand Paul has apparently got something planned in April as well. So we're probably going to have three declared candidates in the month, you know, by the end of April. Maybe more. And maybe Hillary, for God's sake. I kind of hope she does. Because then she'll have to, at some point, withdraw after she talks to Trey Gowdy and everybody. Here's the thing. When she officially becomes a candidate, then she's fair game for everybody.
Yeah.
So... And Ted Cruz is finding that out, and Marco Rubio will find it out, and so will Rand Paul and anyone else. So once you officially, there's always scuttlebutt before you announce, but once you officially announce, the press starts licking their chops going, okay, let's get the dirt on this guy. You know, now they won't be as, have as much relish when they go after Hillary, but, there's so much stuff on Hillary. It'd be awful tough not to come up with enough stuff on her.
I look forward to that. I mean, she's the go-to person. There's nobody else that's even running that I know of. And it's funny. Another thing is funny. Don't you think Biden would kind of get in there or somebody in case she does go down? They're right there and waiting.
I think Biden is exactly what Biden's doing. Biden's sitting there. He's literally sitting there waiting on the wheels to come off the Hillary train, for her to run off the tracks. That's probably a better way to put it. And he would be the logical person to capitalize that. At least he'd be one of them. The guy from Maryland, what's his name? Governor? I can't remember his name right now.
I don't know.
He's not. I don't think he's going to be, you know, whatever. But anyway, he might benefit. And, of course, maybe they would literally get Elizabeth Warren out. She keeps saying she is not running, not running, not running, not running. Pocahontas says she's not running. So I don't know. I can't help it.
Every time I think of her,
her trying to claim she's an American Indian, this just cracks me up. Jesus.
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas Warren.
If there's anybody that's liberal, that girl is.
Oh my God.
About that.
Now, here's the thing. When it comes to progressive politics, she's worse than Hillary. The thing. Hillary has been kind of schooled by Bill saying, no, you can't say that. You can't do that. You can only go so far, the American people reject you. Pocahontas doesn't have a problem with that. She has nobody to sit there and counsel her about, you can't say that. You can't do that. She says whatever she wants. And if she becomes a candidate, she's going to be, if a Republican can't beat Pocahontas, we're really in bad trouble.
Yeah. I don't think she has a prayer of winning.
No.
She's so far.
I hope she's her nominee, though.
Yeah, it'd be great for me. I love it.
Because even Biden would be a better nominee in terms of a challenge to a Republican because this sounds crazy. Think about this. Biden would be tougher to beat than her. Now, considering Biden is a screw-up machine from the word go, and he always has been, but even he would be a better candidate for the Democratic Party than Elizabeth Warren. But there are people in the Democratic Party who just love Pocahontas to be the nominee. Because it would be bring about utopia. You know, their idea of what utopia would be. So
I think the Democratic Party's in a shambles right now. I do. As far as the 2016 race. They don't know what to do. They really don't. I mean, you've got to know there's got to be at least half of them going,
oh God, what are we going to do if Hillary?
Yeah, falls? Hillary's got way too much baggage. What? Wow.
Yeah. Well, like I said, their bench is thin. We got the final four and stuff going on now, and the tournament. You know, you got to have a good starting five, but you got to have a good bench. The Democrats don't even have a good starting five. If you look at the Republican side, you want a starting five? Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio. I mean, you can go down the list. Bobby Jindal. You know, there's lots of people. Scott Walker, right? And they got some people on the bench that could do okay. But look at the Democratic side. On their starting bench, you got Hillary. What else? Let's see. Maybe Elizabeth Warren, maybe. But I think she's more of a bench player. Maybe Joe Biden. Maybe, you know. I don't know. I think they don't even have a starting five, as far as I'm concerned.
Unless Barack Hussein Obama decides to pull a FDR.
Well, that's always a possibility. And with this guy, as we know,
the Constitution
does not mean anything, this damn guy.
Don't put it past him.
And makes you wonder why they're having all these martial law exercises out in the Southwest, right? Seven states. It's funny how they pick those states, don't you think? If you start looking at that, you're thinking, these are the people who could cause trouble. These people carry guns.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's part of it. Okay. I think that just about does it. We don't have time to really kick off anything else. You want to take us out, Ken?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for listening, as always, and we'll see you next time.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.